Okay. Part two. We're nearing the end of the list of reasons that Jesus is amazing. In chapter 8, it says that the old covenant was just a shadow. Now imagine you walk up to somebody and you start talking to their shadow. If the person is there, why would you want to talk to the shadow? In chapter 8, verse 5, let's read it. So he's talking about the law and he's talking about the tabernacle. He says these things are just like a copy. Like a cheap copy. Like that plastic Angkor Wat. But even the copy was pretty amazing. In chapter 10, verse 1, it says the law is just the shadow. But the reality is in Christ. That's a book I had back there. It's called From Shadow to Reality. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the real thing. In the rest of chapter 8, he talks about the new covenant is so much greater. He quotes from Jeremiah 31, who says, I'm going to give you a new covenant. And God will be on our hearts. And it's a better covenant. It has better promises. Then in chapter 8, verse 13, he says the old covenant, it's old, it's fading, and it's about to disappear. The book of Hebrews was written in the late 60s A.D. And soon after it was written, the Romans came to Jerusalem, surrounded the city, tore it to the ground, and destroyed the temple. And literally, the old covenant came to an end. And then in chapter 9, he talks about the tabernacle. And he says, the tabernacle that Jesus lives in is so much greater than the old tabernacle. Let's look at the tabernacle. This is the Holy of Holies. This is where God dwelled among His people. Did the Jews want to go in there? Definitely not. They would get burned or something if they went in there. Under Judaism, only the high priest, only once a year, only after sacrificing a bull and smearing the blood all over the holy place, only after pulling back the curtain and filling the most holy place with incense so you couldn't see anything, only then could he enter. And only for a minute or two. Only for 1 or 2 minutes. To sprinkle the blood of another bull on the Ark of the Covenant. And they tied a rope around his ankle. Because if something happened to the high priest, nobody's going to go in there. So they pull him back out. Did the Jews have access? Only the high priest. Only once a year could go in there. In the holy place, only the priest could go there. In the courtyard, only the Levites could go there. Then in the temple, the Jews could be in this area here, the men, and the women had the even farther out court. And the Gentiles were even farther away. Now, are you a Jew or a Gentile? How close were you to God? But Jesus changed everything. We go through the court of the Gentiles, the court of women, the court of men, the outer thing for the Levites, the holy place, and then we come to the curtain. What happened to the curtain when Jesus died? Torn in two. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Let's read 19 through 21.
19 through 21. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, មានសេចក្តីឃ្លាខ្លះនឹងចូលទៅក្នុងទីបរិសុទ្ធដោយសារព្រះហិតនៃព្រះយេស៊ូតាមផ្លូវដែលត្រង់បានតាំងសម្រាប់យើងរាល់គ្នាជាផ្លូវថ្មីហើយនោះដែលចូលកាត់ពីនោះគឺជារូបសាច់របស់ទ្រង់ហើយដែលមានសម្ដីសងដល់ធំមួយអង្គត្រួតត្រាលើដំណាក់ព្រះចាំទេបាទចុះ
Brothers and sisters, do you understand the privilege we have in Christ? The Jews never even dreamed of this. We walk into the very presence of God, the real Holy of Holies.
It
says we do it boldly. Not in fear. When we pray, We're in the very throne room of God. We have full access through Jesus. What an honor that is. This picture is pretty amazing picture. Because it's a picture of the heavenly tabernacle. So think about it. We have God right here, the Father right here. The bread is on the right. That's the Son, who's the bread of life. And the lamp on the left. That's the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, the oil in the lamp is the Holy Spirit. Now we have access. But not everybody has access. Because you can't get in there except by the sacrifice of Jesus. So this is the altar of sacrifice without which you would never go in there. Is the sacrifice of Jesus enough? Well, that's a tricky question. Because there's also this thing here. It's the fancy word is laver.
What is it?
I don't know, laver. A big thing of water. It holds 30,000 liters. Because if you want to get into where God is, you need the sacrifice of Jesus. And you got to get baptized. But then you're in. The tabernacle that Jesus is in is much greater than the earthly tabernacle. And then there's the sacrifices. Hebrews 10:4 it says, the blood of bulls and goats never removes sin. It only created outward cleanliness. So that they could worship God and he didn't destroy them. But those sacrifices never took away sin. The Old Testament sacrifices were about the outside. The sacrifice of Jesus cleanses our inside. The Old Testament sacrifices were temporary. They had to do it again and again and again and again. It never stopped. Jesus' sacrifice is eternal. The sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were not voluntary. If you said to the lamb, will you give your life? The lamb would say, no! Jesus gave his life willingly. He was the lamb who willingly gave his life. The sacrifice of Jesus is so much greater. So we see how Jesus is greater than the prophets, than the angels, than Moses, than the priests. His covenant is better. The tabernacle he lives in is much better. And his sacrifices are real. So now we're ready for our final exhortation. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Actually, let's read verses 1 through 3. If you want to make it to heaven, you need to pay attention. You need to make every effort. You need to grow up. But most important of all, you need to live by faith. Because if you're living by faith the day you die, you'll walk right into heaven. What's it mean to walk by faith? It means to believe in things that are not seen. Think about it. Everything that's important is invisible. And everything that's visible is worth almost nothing. What do we tend to focus in on? The visible things, because we're human. Faith requires that you deny your senses. Your senses say one thing, and faith says something else. You read the newspaper, you go online. Does it look like God is in control? Not really. But God's in control. We can only see that by faith. Can you see heaven? You can't see heaven. It says these men and women, they were commended for their faith. What do they all have in common? They looked at the things of the world. And they said, that's worthless. They put their entire trust in God. And they're going to be saved. They chose the things that are unseen. And they're walking with God. Now, how many of you want to be successful in your faith? I do. But be careful. Because success is something you can see. What if you shared your faith with 10,000 people? What if you shared your faith with 10,000 people? What if you gave your life and your blood and no one was baptized? Would you still believe in God? Now, I want success just like anybody else. But don't you rely on success. Because that's fleeting. And it's something you can see. He said, by faith we know that the universe was made from things that aren't seen. Now, I'm a physics professor. It's true. It's called the Big Bang.
According to physics,
there was nothing. No time, no space, no matter, no energy. Then in an instant, the entire universe came into existence from nothing. Just like it says here in Hebrews 11. But what's the point? The things that are seen were created from things that aren't seen. So what should we look at? Think about Paul. Philippians 3, 5 through 8. We won't read it. Philippians 3, 5 through 8. He said, I was a Jew of Jew. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. As far as righteousness under the law, perfect. He had the highest education. He was the top of his class in Pharisee school. He was trained by Gamaliel. Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the time. He had everything set up for him. And he said, I consider all those things garbage. Compared to knowing Jesus. Paul walked by faith. That's what we need to do. He says, by faith, Abel gave a better sacrifice than Cain. We don't know a whole lot about Abel. But we're talking about it even now. I don't know about you, but when I die, I hope they say about me, he walked by faith. And then there's Enoch. Enoch was not looking at the things of this world. Enoch walked with God. And he wasn't seen anymore. What does it say about Enoch? What does it say about faith? It says, without faith, you'll never please God. And if you want to come to God, you need to believe two things. Number one, that He exists. Do you believe God exists? Good, I'm glad about that. But beyond that, you need to believe that your reward comes from God. Do you believe that if you rely totally on God, not on your job, not on your education, not on your good looks, not on your accomplishments, not even on your friends or your family, if you put all of your trust in God alone, if you gave up everything the world has to offer, do you believe that He would bless you? Do you really believe that? If you do, then you're going to be called God's friend. I just want you to get a picture right now. You can't see it, but I want you to form a picture in your mind. A church of 2,000 in Battambang. You sitting in your home. with your grandchildren around the table and they're all disciples. God making a ministry through you. You using your gift and changing the world forever. That's faith. Now he talks about Noah. Let's read verse 7. Now notice this, what he says. Noah was warned about things that had never, ever been seen before. But Noah believed anyway. God said to Noah, build an ark. Noah says, what's an ark? I've never seen one of those. What's a boat? A big boat. What's a boat for? Well, there's going to be a flood. Noah says, what's a flood? Well, it's when it rains for weeks and weeks and weeks and the water comes up and covers everything. Noah says, okay. Now, how big does the boat have to be? 100 meters long. Noah says, why such a big boat? Because of the animals. What animals? The ones that are going to come. Why are they going to come? Because they're going to make them come. Okay? When are they going to come? In 100 years. Noah built the ark. Noah had faith in things that had never been seen before. Through this group here, God could do things that have never been seen before. Now, did Noah have a Bible?
No.
Did he have a church? Did he know anything about Jesus? Had he had any promises fulfilled? But Noah built the ark. Brothers and sisters, that should shame us a little bit. I would have liked to have been there when he came home and talked to his wife. He says to his wife, I got a little project. All right, Noah, you've had lots of projects. All right. We're going to build an ark. What's an ark? It's a big boat. What's the boat for? The flood. What's a flood? Well, it's when it rains, it rains, it rains. I saw big. 100 meters long. Why so big? Because of all the animals. What animals? You get the idea, right? And then Noah's wife said to him, who told this to you? God. Which God? The one you can't see. How about the conversation with the neighbors? You think the neighbors kind of laughed at Noah? What are you doing, Noah? Well, I'm building an ark. Noah preached for 100 years. How many conversions? Not one. But think about it. How many people have come to know God through Noah? Through the faith of Noah. And then there's Abraham. Let's read about Abraham. Hebrews 11.
Verse 8 through 12. ជាទៅឯណាទេដោយសារសេចក្តីជំនឿនោះលោកបានស្នាក់នៅក្នុងស្រុកដែលទ្រង់សន្យាឲ្យដូចនៅប្រទេសដទៃក៏នៅតែក្នុងត្រសាលជាមួយនឹងអ៊ីសាហើយនឹងយ៉ាកុបជាអ្នកគ្រប់ជាអ្នកគ្រងសេចក្តីសន្យាដដែលទុកជាមរតកជាមួយគ្នាពីព្រោះលោករងចាំក្រុងមួយដែលមានឫសជាច្រើនដែលព្រះទ្រង់ជាអ្នកគូហើយជាជាងសពដោយសារសេចក្តីជំនឿ នោះនាងសារ៉ាក៏ទទួលអំណាចឲ្យមានក៏បង្កើតកូនបានហើយនាងបង្កើតកូនមកក្នុងកាលដែលហួសអាយុហើយពីព្រោះនាងបានរកព្រះដែលសន្យានោះទុកជាស្មោះត្រង់ដូច្នេះក៏មានមនុស្សមួយផងដូចផ្កាយនៅលើមេឃហើយដូចខ្សាច់នៅមាត់សមុទ្រដែលរកមិនចេះអស់បានកើតមកអំពីមនុស្សតែម្នាក់ដែលអ្នកនោះក៏ទុកដូចជាស្លាប់ហើយដែរ It's about my friend Kok Hung. He's in Vietnam. He and his wife lead the church there. You know, it's tough being a Christian in Vietnam. Because it's illegal. The government kicked them out of their home at least 3 times. And yet they decided to plant a church in Hanoi. About a week before they were going to leave, a man burst into their apartment and beat Kok Hung up in front of his wife and children, bloodied and bruised. Wasn't looking too good. I mean, going to plant a church in Hanoi. What would you have done? You know, a week later they went to Hanoi. And he was still bruised from the beating. They show up in Hanoi, and the first week they were there, a knock on the door. It was a policeman. Imagine the thoughts that went through Kok Hung's mind. The policeman said, "Did you come here to plant a church?" What would you have said? Kok Hung said, "Yeah, we did." Are you the group that teaches you have to follow the Bible? That's the only way? Said, "Yeah, that's us." Are you the ones who teach that you need to be a disciple? That you need to give up everything to follow Jesus? Kok Hung said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want to study the Bible." He was the first baptism. He was the first baptism in the Hanoi church. But you know what? If you looked at what's going on, it wasn't looking so good. So God says to Abraham, "You need to leave." Abraham was set up pretty well.
He was in Ur, the greatest city in the world. He had a house. He had wealth. He had family. He had a wife. And God says, you need to leave. Abraham said, okay, where? God says, I'm not going to tell you where. Because if you know where you're going, that's something you can see. So God doesn't tell you where you're going. Are you ready for the Christian adventure? Because Christianity, it's an adventure. I don't know what God has in store for you next. He might take away your job. He might let you get cancer. Are you willing to let that happen? Abraham lived the rest of his life in a tent. Abraham went home. He said to his wife, get packed. We're leaving. She said, when are we coming back? Never. Where are we going? I don't know. Who told you to go? God. Which God? The one you can't see. Now, Abraham is a picture of us. We need to follow Abraham out of Ur. In fact, if you're a disciple, you already did. You've already given up everything. And you're on the Christian adventure. And do you believe that if you follow God, He'll give you something better than you could have had from yourself? Abraham lived the rest of his life in the promised land that God promised to him, and yet he never had a square centimeter. Only his descendants. Abraham trusted the promise. In Romans chapter 4, it says, Abraham believed. And God said, Abraham is righteous. What did Abraham believe? That if God says it, it's going to happen. That Abraham, God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. The whole world will be blessed through you. Your children will be like the grains of sand. Abraham was almost 100 years old. And his wife was 90. Abraham looked at himself. I still have it. But he looked at Sarah. 90 years old. Menopause 40 years ago. And she never had children. But it says, Abraham didn't waver. He didn't hesitate. He believed God. And look, he became the father of Israel physically, and the father of Abraham of Israel spiritually. Let's skip down to verse 17 through 19. Yeah, 17 through 19. Hebrews 11 still. Abraham walked by faith. The three greatest people of faith in the Bible, in my opinion, are Noah, Abraham, and Mary. I really appreciate the faith of Mary. God said to Abraham, you need to go to Moriah and sacrifice your son. That put Abraham in a tough spot. Because the promise said, your son will be the father of many nations. But the command said, kill your son. Sometimes, God will give you something, and later on, He'll take it away. Maybe God will give you a husband or wife, and then they'll become unfaithful. Will you continue to walk by faith? Maybe God will help you to help somebody become a Christian. And they'll leave the faith. Will that stop you from walking by faith? We need to follow Abraham out of Ur. But if you're a disciple, I guess you already did. Well, we also need to follow Abraham to Mount Moriah. That's where God takes away something, even a blessing. Are you relying on the blessings? Or are you relying on God? That's a tough question. Abraham had such amazing faith. And notice this, it says he reasoned. In verse 17, he reasoned. No, verse 19, excuse me. He reasoned. God said, through Isaac, many nations. And God said, kill your son. And Abraham said to himself, how would that work? The only thing he could think of is after he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead. How's that for faith? The symbolism is amazing. Because Mount Moriah is where Jerusalem is. That's the same mountain that God offered His one and only Son on. Abraham offered his one and only son as a sacrifice on the same mountain that God did the same thing. That's no accident. And it says here in verse 19, figuratively, Abraham received his son back from the dead on the third day. Just like God received His son back from the dead on the third day. It's really interesting. When they got to the mountain, Abraham gave to his son the wood, and his son carried the wood up Mount Moriah that was going to be used for his own sacrifice. Can you think of another son? An only son? Who carried wood up the same exact mountain? That was going to be used for his sacrifice? Abraham believed God. We need to walk by faith. Now, I'm running out of time. I want to just very briefly mention verse 13 through 17. 13 through 16. We don't have time to read it. But it's talking about all these men and women who walk by faith. And it says they were still walking by faith when they died. That's it. That's the whole story. If you're still walking by faith when you die, you made it. You'll have rest. Brothers and sisters, let us walk by faith. He says they could have gone back. Abraham could have gone back. There was nothing stopping him. You can go back. You can go back right now. Sitting there in that chair. You can say, I give up. But they didn't. And they admitted that in this world, they're like aliens. They're like strangers. They're like travelers. In this world, we'll never fit in. We're going to be a little strange. Kind of like Jonah. Like Noah, rather. Do you want to fit in? I do. Let's be honest. All of us want to fit in. But if you walk by faith, your citizenship is not in this world. My passport says United States of America. But that's not true. My citizenship is in heaven. I've heard the Christian life being described as being like a bridge. We left the world behind. And we're in heaven, sort of. But not really. Because the church, the kingdom, is only like a picture of heaven. Just like Abraham, he lived in the promised land, but he never received the promise. And there's a sense in which we have not received the promise yet. We have it already, but not yet. That's what it's like to be on a bridge. And when you live on a bridge, you don't plant a tree on a bridge. You don't put down roots. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we have a very strange constitution. The Sermon on the Mount. We say the way to be great is to be humble. We say the way to be filled up is to be thirsty. We say the way to greatness is to be like the scum of the earth. But it says here that God is not ashamed to call them His children. Why could they do it? Because they saw heaven. Can you see heaven? Well, not with your eyes, but with faith. Then he talks about Moses. He says, Moses gave up everything. He was in the palace. But he became a slave. And lived like a slave. And he saved Israel. In verse 27, it says, Moses saw him who is invisible. Because faith is belief in things that are unseen. One more example. Let's read chapter 11, verse
30. Luke down, what to be grown, Jericho, after Pete my heart, look, campaign, the grown corn.
This is an interesting story. How did the walls of Jericho fall? By faith. God came to Joshua and he said, it's time. You're going to conquer the city. And Joshua said to God, all right, what's the battle plan? God says, here's the battle plan. Leave your weapons behind in the camp and march around the city and then blow your horns. Joshua said, do you have a different plan? God says, no, that's the only plan. So Joshua goes back to the people. He says, I've got good news. God told us He's given us this city. God has given you Battambang. You need to claim it by faith. So the people say to Joshua, all right, what's the battle plan? He says, here's the plan. Leave your weapons. March around the city. And blow your horn. And they said, We need another plan. You know, I was in Jericho just 2 years ago. It's really hot there. But they walked around that city. Literally, they walked by faith. What do you think the people in the city thought about them? Look at those Jews! What are they doing? Are we supposed to be afraid of them? They don't even have their weapons. They're tiring themselves out. Because, you know, if you walk by faith, your neighbors are going to think you're a little strange. The students in your class, they may scratch their head. But there are a few out there, they're looking for God. They're going to see your faith. They're going to start marching around the city with you. You know, they laughed at the Jews. But when the trumpets blew and the wall fell down, who was laughing? They laughed at Noah. But when the rain fell and the door closed, who was laughing? So they walked around the city. And he said, you know, by faith, ordinary people did amazing things. They shut the mouths of lions. That's Daniel. They walked through flames and were uninjured. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They escaped the sword. Women received their children back from the dead. They had great victories. For some, though, it didn't go so great. He said some of them were stoned to death. One of them was even sawed in half. That's what they did to Isaiah. They sawed him in two. Others were put to death by the sword. Which is it going to be for you? I honestly don't know. I hope it's the first kind. Let's go to the end of this chapter. It says they wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Let's read verse 39 and 40. Chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. You know, these men and women of faith, they were commanded by God. God praised them. Because they endured much. And they had great victories. But he said, none of them received the promise. None of them saw the Messiah. None of them saw the prophecies fulfilled. They knew nothing about Jesus. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. He says, God has planned something better for us. If they can walk by faith, surely we can walk by faith. Now it's 8 o'clock, so I can't cover chapter 12 and 13. I really want to. But let me summarize. Jesus is amazing. Compared to the prophets, there's no comparison. He is the message. Moses brought the law. He is the law. He's greater than any high priest. His covenant is much greater. His sacrifices really save. But let's pay attention. Let's make every effort. Let's move on to maturity. Let's follow Abraham out of Ur and to Mount Moriah. Let us walk by faith. Thank you.
Hãy subscribe cho kênh Ghiền Mì Gõ Để không bỏ lỡ những video hấp dẫn.